And it makes you feel like you're part of the group. That's kind of my leadership, is just get as many people involved as you can.
That's the voice of Cindy Freeland, co-founder of a grassroots group known as We the People of South Central Kansas. This group is based in Arkansas City, not Arkansas City, and yes, they had to correct my pronunciation, although you'll notice they normally just abbreviate to Ark City, which does make it easier. Ark City is south of Wichita, only a stone's throw away from Oklahoma. It was a 3.5-hour drive from my home in the Kansas City area, but I heard so many great things that I knew it'd be worth it, and my trust was well rewarded. Before going to the We the People monthly meeting, two of the group organizers invited me to lunch in Ark City beforehand. We went to a cute cafe in a converted house called Steamy Joe's. I'd hit my caffeine quota on the drive over, so I had chocolate milk with my panini. I saw the barista pour white milk and mix in chocolate syrup, just the way my grandma used to make it. We went upstairs and I got to meet Lynn and Cindy, two of the organizers of the group. As a reminder, the ACLU of Kansas is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. As always, the views expressed by guests are their own. For this podcast, I wanted to respect our guests by allowing them to speak from their own vantage point and in their own words. Now here they are.
Cindy Freeland. I don't know, Lynn and I just said, let's do it. I've never been political. My husband's city manager and I was a little bit there, but no, I tried to stay away from it. I hardly even watched the news, but things changed.
I'm Lynn Calder and I live in Ark City. Was born and raised here, but was away for many, many years. In the first election that Mr. Trump won, kind of reignited me. I was involved in the Women's March. My husband and I went to D.C. for the March for Us with the gun rights. And, you know, we've tried to be active ever since. Now we're full force.
Lynn and Cindy shared with me the origin story of how this group got started.
I line dance behind Lynn. We have our spots, just like in church. But I knew where Lynn stood. So after the election, I was really down and said to Lynn, what are we going to do about this? And right away, we both said, let's do something. Let's start a group. And then Christy joined us right away. So in January, we just asked a few friends. And I think we had 10 to 12 people there. And then they told people the next meeting we had like 30-some. And it's just continued.
That's basically how it all started. I think that we all kind of looked like Eeyore in dance class. And when we decided to have a meeting in January, we picked Inauguration Day.
Their city mentions Christy as another major player in starting this group. Here's her introduction.
Hey, I'm Christy Clark. I am from Ark City. And we kind of all just started this thing together and doing the best we can to help protect people that maybe can't protect themselves. And I accidentally named this on Signal, right? Because I was just like, I'm going to put this on there for today and we'll name us later. And it just kind of stuck.
After lunch, we headed to the Ark City Community Rec Center. The same one from Lynn and Cindy's story. It reminded me of a small town YMCA. There's a basketball court, a weight room, the aerobics room, and a meeting room filled with folding chairs, which was already beginning to fill with people. At the front, there was a table with tons of handouts. There was a meeting agenda, promos for other events to attend, but most interesting were Know Your Rights handouts and palm cards with instructions for dealing with ICE, your rights as a protest, and beyond. It was a Monday at 1 p.m., but in the end, I counted 47 individuals in attendance. The meeting started with the group song, Celebrating Conservation. I didn't get a chance to record the group singing the song, as beautiful as it was, but here's a sample from the original songwriter, Tom Chapin.
This pretty planet, spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your holy place. Golden sun going down, gentle blue giant, spin us around all through the night.
Say it felt almost like a secular hymn to center the group's shared values. Cindy said the tradition had a more practical origin.
Well, we were trying to do protest songs at the protest, and as we didn't know the words, and I thought, it kind of, again, brings us together. So usually they're protest songs. But this time, Anne just felt like this was the one to go. So it just was a way to start. And other people are kind of floating in if they're late. It's just a thing to kind of bring us together and start. The two previous months, it really, you could just feel the love and care for each other.
Over the course of the meeting, they made plans for an upcoming protest, gave instructions on filming as a bystander if you encounter ICE, and announced the Volunteer of the Month. They had an invited speaker, Jack McCarthy, who was a lawyer from just over the state line in Oklahoma, to speak. He shared his experience growing up in a blended Native American household and how his presentation affected his experiences. After the meeting was over and the folks had finished goodbying and filtered out, I got a chance to meet with a handful of the members who had been the most involved. First, I met individually with a man named Lawrence. Lawrence had been the chair of the Kelly County Democrats. With his experience, he's been the primary resource to find and invite speakers each month. Here's Lawrence.
I am still impressed that Sidney Freeland and the rest of the people she's got together started out with 10 people in January of 24, is I think the largest one had to be 80 people on a Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to listen to somebody speak about a topic that we're all interested in.
When I was done speaking with Lawrence, I returned to the meeting room where a semicircle of chairs had been set up for the handful of other group members who stuck around to talk with me. By the way, we'll still hear from Lawrence throughout the pod, but I wanted to give a little context on why he wasn't responding or being responded to like the others. Speaking of the others, here are some of the quick introductions they shared with me.
My name is Lynn Hunter, and I'm from Winfield. I was politically naive until at least in my 40s. And then I can't even remember how I started to learn. I thought the ACLU was some super liberal, you know, I'd heard bad things about it. And then in the summer of 18, I think it was, the Poor People's Campaign had a movement all over the United States to get 6 weeks of action. And my husband and I participated. And in week 5, I got arrested in Topeka. And the ACLU was there every step of the way. And so now they're my heroes.
Angie Turney, and I'm homegrown right here. And I first started seeing things. My daughter's a first grade teacher, and I volunteer in there every week, and she has a lot of minority kids, and I see some of the things that those kids were going through. So when Cindy said she was starting this, then I was like, sure, I'd like to be a part of that. I know some people that are, you know, affected on the daily. So, and now this group is just involved, and it's wonderful.
I am Marcia White Chambers, and I live in a small town out of here, Oxford. I grew up in Wichita, and I have just loved this group. I went to my first protest with Lynn because I thought, I don't know, obviously it's all scary. And then these guys would get some protests going because I just believed in it. I believed that our country was in trouble and we needed to say something. I didn't want to be someone who said nothing while people are getting carted off, while our rights were getting taken away. And I wanted some freedom for my grandkids. And also I felt by having a group of people that were like-minded, and my goodness, I'd always kind of been kind of liberal, but I didn't really participate in anything. Now I've gone to Topeka now a couple of times, and I keep up with what's happening in our Kansas, legislature, because we can make a difference. And I never really thought about how important it is to be involved and try to make a difference. So now I'm doing all the webinars and learning, and I believe in, clean energy and clean water and take care of our planet. But I don't know, now I'm making more of the connection that we actually need to be involved to do something.
Also with us was Dan, a soft-spoken man who was seated away from the microphone. We'll hear from Dan, but I'll have to help fill in some of what wasn't picked up clearly by the microphone. Please also forgive any sound issues that crop up from trying to capture a full group in an unconventional recording space. In his introduction, Dan talked about the solidarity that came from the meeting, how affected he was feeling alone, and how rejuvenating it was to find people who
thought the same way that I did, that felt the same way that I did, because I just wasn't seeing it. And I was, so I'm glad I come to these meetings. They keep me going for a month, and then I got to get back.
And lastly, here's Courtney, who, and I say this lovingly, was the youngest member of this group. Off the mic, she shared that she had rearranged her work schedule for her retail job so she could consistently join these midday meetings.
I am also from ARP City. However, I did also move away to live in a big city for a while. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona throughout my junior high school. That kind of shaped you in a different way. And I honestly started paying attention, honestly, during Barack Obama's first administration, because I was fresh into my freshman year of high school when he was elected the first time. And a lot of people around me saw it in a very negative way. And that kind of opened my eyes to just the people that were around me and how I did not feel the same way as the people that like raised me and were trying to tell me to treat everybody equal and, you know, treat everyone the way that you would like to be treated was not the way that they actually felt. And that kind of opened my eyes a lot and made me start paying more attention, but was glad to find like minds that were like, this is enough. We got to do something about it. So I started joining and started trying to get some of the younger people involved in our group, and slow process, but we're working on it.
Just as Cindy and Lynn Calder shared with their line dancing story, it was clear others were feeling isolated and alone in their Kansas small towns, and that this group was a vital way to counteract that feeling.
The experience of it to me is just, you know, being around other people that feel the same way, kind of like what Dan has said.
By being in this group, everybody's not all down at the same time. Nobody has a level of emotion, the same level of emotion constantly. Might be what you watched on Morning Joe this morning, might be something that you heard that was inspirational. So at least, you know, I have my days, because there's days I think, I just can't do this today. But luckily, there's enough of us that keep us going, and we see the end in mind, not just what's happening now.
I was invited by a lady from our Sunday school group, and she was talking about being involved. And one of the things, I hope I heard it from you guys or her, but, you know, instead of just complaining and rumbling, let's try to do something.
I don't want a gripe session. I want it to be positive. I want us to come out feeling good. We need to be more positive. Be hopeful. Yeah.
I'm just glad that those ladies had the courage to start something they believed in, and they continue to be very successful. I see this group just getting bigger because a lot of people want to do something and they just don't know what to do. And this group tells them what you can do and actually are involved. And I'm so thrilled that so many people are doing things. Not only do they talk about it, but they're actually going out there into the communities and doing something about it. They had 300 people at a No Cage rally the other month.
I didn't realize it was that big.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, Winfield,
yeah,
for the Cowley County Democrats, we only could do 100. They have 300. And it's just impressed me how they have managed to pull people from Sumner County, from Chautauqua County, and Harper County. And they've managed to do things that the traditional parties have not been able to do. And now I'm not talking about wealthy people and people that get generous donations. These are your middle-class working people who want to have a say and want to be able to demonstrate how they feel. And that is very unique here.
And when they talk about creating action, that isn't just a platitude.
It'll be like, okay, we should do these red carts, and I'll do some laminated red carts and just print them out. And then I literally can just say, hey, I need some cartons cut out. And it's like within an hour or two, somebody is there. Boom. They take the card, they cut them, they bring them back. Like, this is the most amazing group of people ever. They're like, how can I help? What can I do? And I've had several people say, I don't know what to do, but if you have anything that you need done, you call me and I will do whatever you want. I mean, they are amazing. They're like, whatever we can do to help, we want to.
Doing something is therapy.
Yeah.
You know, they're always recognizing folks that do good work and help them. Then one day I was given the first volunteer of the month award. That's a huge honor. And I was saying, well, I didn't do that much. All I said was, you need to talk to this group. They're a very unique group here in South Central Kansas because they have various backgrounds, various occupations, and they make it a point to come to a meeting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I've never heard that anywhere.
And it makes you feel like you're part of the group. And that's kind of my leadership, is just get as many people involved as you can.
As the group grew, getting people involved grew beyond a purely ad hoc system and developed into a more codified system.
I was just overwhelmed with trying to make the agenda and trying to cover everything and trying to read everything, and I just couldn't do it. I just was overloaded, and I just felt like I needed to delegate out and get more people involved and more responsibility to other people. And so I just looked at, actually, I looked at five calls to see what all the calls we were supposed to be making and the subjects, and just divided it up. And the ones I felt were the most important.
This dividing up resulted in distinct committees that focused on specific areas and initiatives.
I work for the voting committee because I think mainly because I've worked the polls for probably about the last 8 years, maybe. And so I see what security goes into the vote in this country. I mean, we have people come in and want to hold up the ballot to make sure, because we only do saber ballots. I want to hold up the ballot to see if there's rice paper or there's a trademark or a watermark in there, because we must be doing something to throw the vote away. And we don't use machines anymore in this state. Only thing we have is a counter, and it's not hooked into the internet in any way, but you would be amazed at how many people want to know just exactly what that does and walk around it. And, you know, there's so much suspicion because they've been fed that. I always encourage people, if you really want to know what goes on in election, volunteer. Come on down and see what we do in that day or days that lead up to the elections, because I don't know anything that's more secure.
There's also an environmental committee.
I go on that committee because I am really was interested in learning more about clean energy and about the like battery energy storage systems, because there's been so much uproar where I live against all of it. I thought, well, I just don't, you know, I just thought, well, what is going on here? So I was able to be on a committee, and these people are so devoted. They already know a lot. And so I got hooked in with listening to webinars and reading and joining organizations. And I had just learned so much. And so in our committee meetings, then we have like an agenda. It's really organized. And then we take ideas in, and then we talk about upcoming events, that who maybe wants to cover that. And then maybe write up a little summary and put it in the paper or something to share. It's very friendly, but it also stays focused. We try not to get off track on, you know, just grumbling about stuff. You know, we try to stay on what we can do that's positive. For me, I write articles for the newspaper, but I also, now when I sit down to talk with people, I'm a little bit more educated about what what's the truth is, instead of just having these vague ideas that I support something. I'm getting more facts down, that I'm becoming more literate, I guess, in environmental justice and how clean energy and how pollution is hurting our most vulnerable people.
As Marcia talks about publishing articles, you should know there's also a communications committee headed by Dan.
I write a lot of articles. Drives my wife nuts, but that's okay. I wanted to get the editor of the local paper who believes and feels the same way we do. And I got a pastor on my committee, and that's about the size of it. Sometimes I get my mailbox vandalized, but that's only happened a couple times. But way more than that, I'd see people in Walmart or wherever, and they'll come up and tell me, thanks for the articles. And these are people that I would have never guessed that they was in line with us. And there's a lot of them out there that I think there's more out there than what we feel there are, and I think we'll see that in the midterm elections.
One of the themes throughout the conversation is how this group is bringing people together you may not otherwise expect from across party lines and across communities.
There's always been an Arc City Winfield competition, and it's wonderful to work together.
That's what Lena, the three of us have said. It's so nice to get to know people from Winfield on a different level. I've really, really met some great people.
Now it's a beautiful blend of both communities.
And I really think the group that is in Ponca City, Oklahoma now was born from this group. Mm-hmm. So I think they saw what we were doing. We saw a young couple came maybe to the first or second protest we had, and they had a small baby. They were so impressed with what was going on. They went and got water for us, and they brought water back. And, you know, from that, they started their own group in Ponca City. So I think that, you know, we're inspirational to a certain extent. So anybody who would love some inspiration, we'd love to give it. When I look out at the crowd, I see people who I think, I would never have expected then at this meeting.
Right.
Or at a protest. And I hope they say, I would never have expected them at this protest.
because I do think that, you know, the ice has broken and will continue to break, that people don't think that we are the enemy within.
I was going to say ACLU wasn't exactly a friend of law enforcement officers. I mean, we just, that's not your demographic. It's in my 20s. I never say that. But when you get old, you get wiser. So I hope.
I think because they touch on the idea that this country was brought together and has been successful because we attracted a diverse group. We attracted people that wanted to come here and contribute and be able to demonstrate that they could succeed and wanted to give back to this country what they received. As for me, you know, part Indian, part Mexican, I find it refreshing that there's a group of people recognize that it was diversity and it was equality, inclusion that helped build the country what we have today. It wasn't perfect. There was a lot of things that didn't go right, but we still believe that's the formula to make this country successful. And I think they touch on that. And everybody that comes here kind of feels a pull that, yes, they're talking to me. They're talking to me. And that's, I think, what the appeal is. They're, what they're saying and what they're doing resonates with a lot of folks. You don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat to be proud of this country.
A lot of my friends are all part of the LGBTQ group, along with myself. And so a lot of us look around and are very scared because we know we've seen what happens. And so a lot of them are scared and don't know what to do. And so try and get them more involved to say, hey, there are people here that care, is one of the reasons why, like, we're doing the Pride booth in June, is to try to get the outreach out there. And they're very open and welcoming.
You may have gleaned that a major aspect of this group is public protest, which they say can be powerful in fighting isolation and being heard in these rural communities. Here are some of their stories and thoughts on protest.
I think when we all started our very first protest, all of us were a little hesitant. Not that we didn't want to be there, but we were afraid of what might happen. You know, we had read everything, put your blood type in your name, write it on your arm. So if you're arrested, that people know who you are. I remember teasingly texting one of my friends that lives in Oswego saying, hey, if you have bail money, keep it handy because I may need it. And I was joking, but yet I wasn't joking because who knew what was going to happen. So I think all of us were like, kind of like pins and needles kind of thing. But then when we saw everybody and everybody started bringing signs and they started bringing signs that were so innovative and so poignant that, you know, it just made us all feel better. And once we got the music involved and things like that, we decided to make it a celebration of what we were doing. It got better every time.
I think I saw a Facebook post about a protest, and it was actually my very first protest ever would have been with this group. And it would have been Christy that I ran into first, because she's always right at their front center, music going, doing the chants, getting this going. And she's actually the one that told me about the group whenever I was at my very first protest. And then I started coming because I was like, I need to do something. I can't just sit here with all these feelings and not do anything.
I don't remember if it was the first or the second No Kings rally. Your mother involved.
That's my mother. She's 97.
97 years old, and she's not riding her scooter. She's walking, and she's trying to cross Maple and Summit, and one of these idiots with a Trump bumper sticker just dreamed right by her and flipped her off, not us. This is the mindset that we're dealing with.
But you know what? I did have several people that emailed me or texted me, messaged me, how much they appreciated that we were there.
There was an ice out protest that we did, and it was cold. Cold. I don't think it was 20 degrees. I think it was us going here.
It was just, that was cold.
Yeah, it was cold. And there were 80 of us, 90 of us, something.
It stayed about 17 degrees that entire time we were.
That's dark.
Checking.
Yeah, like, geez. I really think there was around 90 of us that showed up, and which I think is impressive for in Kansas when it's that cold, and a whole bunch of us showed up. And it stuck out to me, not only were people stopping and like honking and waving and reading the signs and giving thumbs up. One guy actually parked his car on the other side of the road, came over, and shook every single person's hand and said, thank you so much for doing this.
Like, yeah, the actual temp was Kohl's, but we didn't have a lot of, like, incoming wind and stuff like that that they did in wind. Like, I came bundled, ready to go, scarf, hat, everything, and ended up at points taking layers off because I had too much.
And what was the chant? We're not cold. We're not afraid. Many taught us to be brave.
Yeah. I think we could really tell, can't you all, in the protest, thick of the protests last summer versus the one just a couple of weeks ago. We were getting flipped off and very negative. Oh, and if we go to Oklahoma, we really do. But it's changed. There's more cars honking and yelling and thumbs up. And there's just that lot less negativity.
More than anything, it was clear that fostering and sharing hope was central to this group. As is customary here on Marching On, we'll end our time with We the People of South Central Kansas with their thoughts and reflections and messages of hope.
I'm a natural pessimist, but the vote in August of 22 gave me huge hope.
I'm very lucky that I have a son who's an educator and a daughter who's a nurse who feel all the ins and outs of what's going on in education and healthcare, and the fact that they are always available and always on the side of what needs to be done right, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what religion, they are just excellent people. I'd like to think I had something to do with that, which I know I probably don't, but or I didn't. But the fact that I know that the generations are going to carry on. My daughter has two sons on the autism spectrum, so she knows where all that comes from and, you know, is afraid for them, just like every parent would be for their own children, Ali Bohr. So I see a great deal of hope in that generation who were supposed to do better than their parents, but didn't necessarily, that can't afford a home, that can't do this and can't do that, but they're still out there on that positive track and doing what needs to be done to make the next generation better.
I would also like to say too, though, like for me, one of the big things that has given me a little bit of hope is actually the group. When I first started coming, like, I'm sure you could tell from today, I'm one of the youngest ones that comes to all of me. And so whenever, like, I first started coming in, like, when I first walked in, I looked at the room and went, whoa. I felt bad because I automatically would have looked at most of the people in the room and assumed they supported or thought the other way. Because honestly, like, a lot of the people from my generation and younger look at the MAGA people as all old, white, privileged people. That's the biggest, you know, majority of his supporters. And so when I first walked in and saw a bunch of older white people, I was shocked, you know, but in a good way. And I felt bad at first because I, like I said, when I first walked in, I looked at every single one of you and went, if I would have met you checking you out at the store where I see most of you every day, I would have automatically thought that most of the group was MAGA. And it made me feel bad. But then after coming and continuing to meet and talk to the people, which is why I actually try to go to both meetings every Monday, and or every month, I try to go to both meetings because the group of people is so different. The group, the ones that are able to come at night are more like a little bit closer to my age and a little bit to where, you know, they're out working and doing all that. But when you come during the day, you get the chance to meet all of the other people that outside you would have looked at and thought otherwise. Mm-hmm. And seeing how many people that are here that care is one of the things that gives me hope. Like, I literally look forward to the meeting every month because it's one of the only places where I can go and be surrounded by everyone that thinks at least mostly the same. And we all have an urge to want to do something to make the world a better place. And so honestly, for me, a lot of my hope that I still have and continue to carry is because of the group, because there's so many other people that want to do good in the world. And people like these that start it and open up their arms for everybody else that allow that to happen. And I think it's great.
Thank you so much to We the People of South Central Kansas for the warm welcome and their time and insights. If you have an urge to make the world a better place, we have the perfect opportunity for you to do just that. We're gearing up for our Election Protection Program, which is a nonpartisan program that works to ensure that every eligible voter can successfully cast their ballot. As a volunteer, you'll help observe polling locations and be a resource to connect anyone facing issues to our trained team of attorneys. To learn more and join the team, go to aclukansas.org/EP. Again, that's aclukansas.org/EP. That does it for this episode. Tune in next month for more conversations with the people who are at the heart of the movement working for civil rights here in Kansas. Until next time, keep marching on.